Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Creative Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Medic. I am joined by one Mr. Rich Rebar here. As always, we're recording this a little bit early, so if someone has died suddenly, you'll know why. But we are here to pick our five favorite games against the spread in Week 15. They're good NFL games. There are a lot of bad NFL games with backup quarterbacks, you know, everywhere, but we have Dallas and Buffalo. We have Baltimore and Jacksonville. We have, you know, I mean, Washington and Los Angeles should at least be fun for fantasy. Fantasy football playoffs are starting, you know, and if you really like football, there's about to be football on every single day for like forever. If you're into college football too, I mean, it's on every day. So, I assume you like football, so everyone's got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, are you like a big college bowl bettor or anything, or do you just kind of like, you're just like, hey, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, this football game on, I'll put it on?
It just depends on the day. I'll do DFS for all the slates. But yeah, if I've got like a lighter work day, you know, I'm betting on New Mexico State or whatever. Like I'm down for that. Yeah, it really depends. I've done like the pools and stuff, but you know, the issue with bowls now is you won't even know until the day of like who's playing. You know, you'll know like obviously the studs are not playing, but you've got like guys who are going to be playing in the CFL next year who are just like, I'm out, you know. So it's tough work. But we're here, we're picking games. Reebs, who's your number five?
My number five, I'm gonna start with probably something I shouldn't do and take the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh my goodness, this is my number three.
Okay, listen, it's the Falcons on the road, but it feels like Arthur Smith is slowly kind of
He's learning.
Slow and steady. I mean, they lost the game last week at home, but it's this Carolina Panthers team is just an unserious operation. I just can't right now. Like you think it's hit like a new low point. Like you're like, oh man, it can't get any worse, the Panthers. And then Bryce Young goes out and completes 13 of 36 passes. And you're like, how could it possibly keep getting worse? And it keeps
negative
getting worse.
0.3 EPA per play last week, which meant that every time that Bryce Young dropped back, the Panthers were losing 0.3 of an expected point.
It's just unfathomable, man. Like, what is happening there? I mean, they are now cruising towards the first pick in back-to-back years, a pick they don't have. Now that the Patriots won last week, and someone else won, I think, too, and kind of separated. They basically have a two-game lead on getting the first pick, which most fan bases would be thrilled about at this point in the season. If you're like, hey, we're going to be that bad and be 1-12, like, let's just go all the way.
Arizona beat the Steelers pick 2 weeks ago.
That's right. And yeah, you get that first pick, and you're just like, yeah, but like, what do the Panther fans even have to like take away from this? Is there anything they can take away from this season?
Nothing you can take away from this season. If you wanted to be really optimistic, you could say they've got a bunch of cap room. They have a couple defensive guys they can trade, and they can spend the entire offseason reworking bit parts in the off. And they're, you know, I mean, they could give T. Higgins a shit ton of money. Like, not that that would lead to them winning games immediately, but just to give yourself a chance to evaluate Bryce Young next season in a real context. Because, like, Mingo is awful. Thielen had like four good games. He's clearly out of gas. Shark, not a good NFL player. Like Hayden Hurst, I don't know if people saw this. Hayden Hurst said Hayden Hurst got such a gnarly concussion. He is being diagnosed with like temporary traumatic onset amnesia. He like doesn't know who he is. Seriously, like it's all fucked up. Yeah, the Panthers are just having the season from hell. The reason why you feel comfortable is, one, it's 3 points. Arthur Smith teams never win by double digits.
Exactly.
It literally never happens. But he's at least learned the lesson that just because you're up a touchdown doesn't mean you need to start benching Bijan Robinson. He's just been using Bijan Robinson in every context of the game. And
Kyle Pitts has been playing. You know, they threw the ball to Drake London last week. They probably won't this week, but you know,
it was the most targets he's had 20 yards down the field in a game ever by over 100%. I think it was six targets down the field, 20 yards or more. He never had more than three in a game before.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely unreal, man. But and you know, it's crazy to think, you know, we talk about Thielen and, you know, you see DeAndre Hopkins. It's, man, these guys could have really helped some good teams out, you know?
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins and Marquez Valdes-Scantling are making the same amount of money this year.
And Hopkins, like, I think was like on like a mini tour of like trying to get his way to like
He
Buffalo,
visited the
trying,
Bills. He
yeah,
visited the Bills.
man, like. And you just think like where the Bills are and how down bad they are right now. And like, obviously, they're coming off of a big win. But, you know, Stephon Diggs is in like the super lull. Teams like they can't get any big plays out of any of their passing game at all right now. And you've got this Chiefs team that literally, at least they finally started playing Rashee Rice. But like, you know, they've literally just meandered through this entire season with no offense. There's so many teams. The one thing is the NFL, you know, is you never have enough offensive linemen and you never have enough wide receivers. It doesn't matter how good you are, you think you are in those spots, you never have enough of those. And pass rushers
Never.
probably also isn't there. But like so many of these teams, like these good offenses, even teams that we think have good offenses, they're like, man, they could use another receiver. And like, man, the Ravens getting Odell on like the Odell's deal looks amazing right now.
He's playing well. Yeah, the yeah, he's awesome. No doubt about it. Like he would be, I mean, Odell Beckham would be really helping the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills right now. Like no doubt about it. All right, my number five, super gross one. Honestly, it does feel like the right side. It's the Cleveland Browns minus 3 points at home against the Chicago Bears. I have snip snapped and gone back and forth on Justin Fields so many times. Like he's being failed by the coaching staff. He can't do like just like you know he's just use what he does well. Like yeah, obviously, and I think the deal with Fields is he actually plays pretty well. He's sort of your classic when you're up 10 points and there's not a lot of opportunity for him to make mistakes. He's pretty good. But just when he presses and when they're in a spot where they just have to drop back a ton, like I don't think they're going to be able to get the ground game going very much, if at all, against this Browns team. And that is just a tough spot for to put Fields in. And really, Flacco, man. He's been spinning it. I know your boy, Mr. Sharp, has had all these great tweets about the turnaround of the Bears defense over the last 8 weeks. I mean, I'm not honestly not educated enough to say how like real that is based on personnel changes or what the defensive coordinator is doing differently. But I do know the Browns defense by any objective metric is like awesome. And those are spots that Fields has struggled in historically. So I got the Browns minus three as my five.
Yeah, I don't hate this one. I mean, you look at the, I mean, yeah, that, and you look at where Fields has gotten over. It's against some of these softer defenses. You know, he's gonna have to do work here. Browns really are gonna give him a lot to worry about. Like, it's one thing that is like the man coverage stuff. He's been better. Like we kind of talked about it. Like, you know, where you kind of think it's counterintuitive. Like it's like blitzing Fields or putting pressure on him makes him a worse quarterback, but it actually just makes him play football. And it helps him. It's the when he has to process stuff or hold on to the football is where he's historically kind of struggled. I'm curious to see what happens with him this offseason. I'd imagine that he's on another team and gets another chance somewhere else, just given what the Bears have on the because the other thing that comes to Fields, it's not just choosing Fields versus Caleb Williams. Like Fields is due a contract. Like, and you're getting a rookie court. You're getting a rookie co quarterback contract, which is like a huge part of that process as well, because like is Fields someone like you want to give like that next extension to? And I think he's probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like he's a great fantasy quarterback. He probably I think can be a playoff quarterback, but like is he ever going to be enough a guy like you're comfortable with is like going to go out and like propel you to wins? I like consistent wins. I
I
think
just
that's
think the
probably
processing is a little bit slow,
yeah.
is the issue. Yeah.
But
All
there's
right.
definitely the highs are high with Fields. Like the highs are really good.
And he is a great runner. I mean, he really
Yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah.
He
He's a
is like
good
an.
dude too. Like he, by all accounts, like he like gets it, right? Like,
Yeah, it's not like Manziel or Rosen where they're just like they're playing shitty and then like blaming it on everyone else and taking like no accountability. Like you don't get any of that with him, which I
but it
think.
feels like for 2 years, the Chicago Bears plan the past 2 years has been, let's try to run this offense we want to run. It doesn't really work out. Then it's like, all right, how do we like strip this thing down to like what Fields does well, and then they start to have some back half of the season, late season success, and then they restart the process again of trying to have him be something that he's not, right? Like that's kind of what the last 2 years have been.
I don't, I kind of think they won't take Caleb,
Interesting, man.
I kind of think they will run with, I don't know. I mean, the Falcons should trade for Justin Fields. Give me Justin Fields, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. I feel like Artie can do that. I mean, he turned Ryan Tannehill into, I believe they were the number one yards per play offense in the NFL in 2019. So like,
I
Artie
mean,
is not a
that's
bad coach.
if the Falcons, so the Falcons, so say, let's assume the Falcons win this division. Obviously, it's a three-way tie right now. Someone's going to win this NFC South.
Someone's gonna win it.
Let's assume it's the Falcons and say they have like pick 20. I mean, you're taking pick 20 for Fields, right? It's like a win-win trade for both teams.
Oh, totally. Yes. I mean, I don't even know. You might be able to, given the fact that he's due a contract, you might be able to get less. You might be able to send less. Like, no, it'll be the Wentz deal, the Wentz where it was a conditional.
Well, you'll
That
get 2 years of them because you can pick up the fifth year option. So,
sure.
like, you get this fourth year and then a fifth year, and you'd get 2 years to evaluate him for a first round pick, a back end first round pick. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But obviously, like you said, the Bears themselves probably would take less than a back end first round pick.
Yeah, I think they would. All right, what is your number four?
My four is the 49ers, and it's just because it's such a huge line. But I mean, dude, they keep getting me there. They didn't play good last week, like their best game, and still covered the double digit points. They have not. They've covered every single home game or every single division game over the past 2 years. They're 9-0-1 against the spread.
That
So I
is
feel,
unreal.
yeah. I mean, they're just and they have the Death Star look again. Purdy didn't even play good the first quarter of that game and still just like threw a career casually threw a 368 yards, you know, like his career
I
high.
think I saw Aaron Schatz tweet. They are right now a top five DVOA team ever.
Dude, I mean,
Ever.
they are an absolute unit. Like, and they've got stars everywhere. Like, when you
Everywhere.
think about like the where we are in the construct of football right now, we're talking about some of these best teams. Dude, they have stars everywhere. Everywhere. Elite pass rushers. They got the best left tackle in the game. They've got like the most unique player on offense. They've got a running back that actually matters. You know,
Yeah.
they've got pass rushers. I mean, dude, they're so loaded, and they're playing this Cardinals team that's just so passive. They don't put
It's
any
a great
pressure on the
word for it.
quarterback.
They are passive. They don't impose their will in
And
any phase of the
yeah,
game.
Kyler,
Yeah.
very passive. Jonathan Gannon, very passive.
Yeah, I kind of think he's all right,
Yeah, I
Gannon.
think he's okay. I think
Yeah.
he's a solid football coach. I think he's a goof. Like when he talk, he has like very bad communication, like with the media and stuff. But
I'm gonna lay down an early take here. Next year, the Cardinals are gonna win like 10 games, and Kyler and one of their pass catchers is gonna just smash ADP, just like unreal, kill ADP.
they'll probably be a team that you can probably get some Jonathan Gannon like Coach of the Year stuff for next year, probably pretty cheap early. Cause like
Yeah.
that's like he fits the criteria, right? Like a team that like came off of sucking. Probably people are they're not gonna have like a high team total. So those are the dudes that you take a shot on. Cause like Coach of the Year typically is just like we thought you would suck, you win the award. This year might actually be a little bit different. I have no idea how Dan Campbell is the favorite right now, but feels like
Cause
they've
he, cause of the
actually.
memes. Dan Campbell is a meme coach.
He's a meme coach, but like the Lions have literally since week one not punched up versus anyone. Like, I mean, this is an unserious team. Like, and it's a good, like, if you're a Lions fan, you should be thrilled of the state of where your franchise is. But like, this is like in the construct of like them actually making noise in 2023. Like, this is not a, this isn't one of the teams.
I don't have this one, not
But
really for any
it's a huge number.
reason.
But
It's just
when
a
these
lot of
teams,
points.
but the thing is, when you look at Purdy, when he's not pressured and the Cardinals are literally second to last in the NFL in pressure rate. I mean, the dude's numbers don't even look real. They don't look like real numbers. He's completing 80% of his passes, 11.1 yards per pass attempt, 17 touchdowns, 132 quarterback rating when he's not pressured. Like those aren't real. That's like shit you did like in video games, like playing in like Madden settings against the computer. And then
He's
when these teams
averaging over 1.5 yards more per attempt than every other quarterback in the NFL. And that was with a 3-game stretch where he looked like dog shit, and we thought Sam Darnold might start a game due
And
to concussion
even those
stuff.
games where like people were acting like, you know, Purdy like is whatever, we gotta bench him. Like he still like those games. I think one game he threw for 10 yards or past him, the other one was like 9.1. Like, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep betting the 49ers until they start doing me wrong. This probably the best bet in this game, though, is like 49ers first half team total or 49ers team total period versus laying the 12. But
Debo Samuel over 120 anytime scrimmage yards plus anytime touchdown. There you go. There's your same game parlay. Easy shipper there.
The crazy
there.
Thing about the 49ers stuff right now is like no one's even talking about really is like all the guys are getting there lately. Like the front half of the season
right.
is like Purdy's efficient. He's throwing for 250 yards. He's giving you two touchdowns.
Yeah, they're all getting
YPA.
There now.
Dude, he's throwing for like 300, 350. Like he's dropping stupid shit now.
I mean, it's great. It's great for us. Not great in your playoff contests if you don't have 49ers. Doesn't
feel
like,
do they
good.
Have to be like, because where Purdy was drafted and like BBM and stuff, like 49er teams have to be.
Especially now that Stroud is going to probably miss week 15. It makes San Francisco stuff absolutely huge.
This week for BBM has got to be massive, right? Because Stroud doesn't play. Obviously, Tank was already moved from the board. But like,
and Nico probably is not going to play.
Tyreek, if he's banged up or any of the Dolphins stuff in general, just looks like it could be.
Yeah, A-Chain has a toe injury. Yeah, I mean it's
they have no
massive.
Offensive line, dude. They have they're gonna be missing six offensive linemen potentially on Sunday.
Not good, not good. All right, my number four, very easy. The Philadelphia Eagles -3.5 points at the Seattle Seahawks. I know they just got done. I mean, I can't remember a team having to go through the regular season ringer like this the way that the Eagles have. And
it's been a road.
Yeah, and I maintain the same thing I have always maintained about Jalen Hurts, which is that I don't really care how low his lows are. The dude is, like, the most unshakable, like, gonna come back better. Devonta Smith banged up, whatever. I actually think the easiest switch they can flip, I'm wondering your thoughts on this, is to play Rashad Penny instead of DeAndre Swift. Obviously, you don't have to make Swift inactive or whatever, but just let Penny try and do his thing for a game. Because, like, the Swift thing is just not really working. He's not getting... However well he was running in the first month of the season, like it's over. It's not happening right now.
Out of the bye, the first two games were good. He ran well against the Chiefs. He ran well against the Bills. But the whole key to DeAndre Swift and how they've utilized him is literally what I said, the utilization. Like when they're behind, they don't try to. This is a team that doesn't try to run the football.
Yeah.
And we've seen that the last 2 weeks because they played in negative game script for the first two times, really, the last 2 weeks. And they just abandon the run. I do think it'll be better for Swift because he's got the next week they play the Giants and then they play the Cardinals. Like I think
it'll only be better for him if they don't do what I'm suggesting, which is to play to I don't know if they will do it. In fact, they probably won't, but I think they should. Because it's like the one idea I have to give them a shot in the arm. Not that they really need it against the Seahawks team.
No,
I mean,
they lost to two good football teams. One circumstance, like obviously the 49ers, it was just like a terrible spot to be put in, you know, playing that huge overtime game against the Bills. 49ers, that huge rest advantage. It was, and the 49ers literally had the Eagles like circled from a year ago, right? Like that part of the rivalry, I still feel like the 49ers had a lot more. Like, they thought it was more of a rivalry than the Eagles did. I know there was some shit talking on both sides, but, like, I feel like the 49ers
Correct.
Took that game a lot more personally than the Eagles did. And then you go on the road to Dallas, who's been just awesome. But I think that they probably are, like, obviously, against Drew Lock, assuming Drew Lock plays, is a good spot to get, right? Then you play the Giants, you play the Cardinals, you play the Giants, and you're still just fine going into the playoffs. Like, this is still one of the better teams. I do think that we talked about Jonathan Gannon just a second ago. I do think him and Shane Steichen, the loss of those two guys, have definitely impacted this season for the Eagles.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's definitely mattered. I think that's
Steichen's
actually
definitely a dude that you could tell gets it.
Yes. Yes, I definitely agree with that. The same thing's kind of happening with Kansas City too. No one's really brought that up much, but it does feel like part of the Chiefs' drawback could definitely be, you know, replacing Eric Bieniemy with Matt Nagy. Like, we're all familiar with Matt Nagy's work. It's not great. All right, we already did my number three. What is your number three?
My three is the Cowboys.
This is my two.
I think the Cowboys outright win this game.
Same.
I do want the Bills to make the playoffs. I think in the AFC, the Bills versus all of those other teams, the Steelers, the Colts, like, obviously we want Josh Allen to be in the playoffs. But I mean, this man, the Dallas team total feels crazy low too to me, where it's sitting. But for them to be dogs on where they are given and given the Bills injuries, I get it. They're on the road, they're in Buffalo. There's no weather. It's not like a cold weather game or anything. It's supposed to
Oh,
be
I
cool.
heard I saw snow. I thought it was gonna snow.
I thought I saw earlier in the week it was supposed to be like in the 40s and like just kind of fine.
I mean, all I'm going, Jacob Sanderson told me this morning that it was gonna snow. That was all. That's all. That's the only report I'm going off of.
All
So
right.
Jacob could have been lying to me.
I'll have to look it up. But either way, the Cowboys have scored seven straight games. They've scored more than their implied team total. They're the only team in the league scoring on over half their possessions, which is just a bonkers number to think about, right? Like, literally, they score more than one of every two times they're getting the football. They're scoring points. We saw Josh Allen last week against the Chiefs get pressured on a season-high percent of his dropbacks. He completed under 60% of his passes. That was the third time in a month, the past month, he's completed fewer than 60% of his passes. They don't have anybody beating man coverage right now. Stephon Diggs, this like the past 6 weeks, where's he been? Where has Stephon Diggs been the back half of the season? And we know outside of Stephon Diggs, the other guys aren't doing anything. Like
Nothing.
Gabe Davis isn't beating man coverage. Khalil Shakir is a fine player. Dalton Kincaid, his usage, we don't even know if he's gonna play because he's in protocol. But like the Bills don't have any other weapons. It's Josh Allen and his legs and what he can create. Now that Stephon Diggs has kind of gone by the wayside here, and he's just not been a really productive football player the past 7 weeks. I mean, who's like James Cook's been the one guy they're getting production out of, and they don't even play him but half the snaps. I mean, they're still out here rolling out Ty Johnson and Latavius Murray in the red zone or in the second half of these games. James Cook had 80 yards in the first quarter last week, and then he had half of the backfield touches the rest of the game.
They forget he exists.
And I think the Cowboys are going to be able to move the football. Micah Hyde looks like he's not going to play. AJ Epenesa looks like he's not going to play. The Bills are just, they keep losing pieces of this defense. And they've done a good job like patchworking this together because they can get pressure on the quarterback. But Dak Prescott has been the best quarterback in the NFL under pressure this season. So I do think the Cowboys still score enough points here, to whereas I still have to question how the Bills generate all their points outside of Josh Allen doing like Josh Allen shit.
Yeah, I mean, the worst case scenario for this wager, I guess, would be that the Bills remember that James Cook exists in the second half of games and that Gabe Davis gets open against Deron Bland. 'Cause like Bland is he I mean, he plays the same way Diggs does. He hunts for these interceptions, but like he gets absolutely cooked, you know. Like DK Metcalf got all those points against Deron Bland because he was just like, sure, like, yeah, try and get in front of me and I'm just gonna run past you.
Yeah,
And that's
Gabe Davis ain't exactly carved out of Mount Olympus like DK is.
no. I mean, I don't, maybe it's a Kincaid game. I don't know. But yeah, like I feel like in a weird way, the Cowboys have been this overrated team for so long, but like I actually think they're probably underrated now. Like Dak really is, you know, he's not in the Shanahan system. Like I feel like Dak per pass attempt is having the best career, like best year of his career. He like playing the best, processing the best, not taking any sacks, not throwing bad interceptions. Like they fully, I think probably the biggest difference of this year and years past is them just fully leaning into CD is like the real alpha. Like that really is the biggest difference. And you gotta give a shout out to Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard playing so bad at the beginning of the season was probably why they did it. They went into the bye week, McCarthy and Schottenheimer, they were like, this shit ain't gonna work. We're not turning the offense over to Rico Dowdle. What can we do? I guess maybe we should use this all world wide receiver we have, and it's working. Yeah.
So I
So
looked it up. Roth has this game in the green at
all right,
River
Jacob Ladd,
Grinders.
shout
Ten
out. Shout
to
out thinking
15
about
mile per
thinking.
hour winds, dry, mild temperatures by Buffalo standards, no major impacts. He's got it in the green right now.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's I mean, that's what I hope. I hope
He
we
has
get.
this he he has this Miami Jets game looking really rough. And
Yes.
I'm not
Correct.
usually a big weather guy during the week. But he has this Miami game looking real bad.
Yeah. Well, it's
35 up to 20 to 35 mile per hour winds with rain.
Tua without Tyreek and
No
Achane
linemen.
and no linemen in the wind should be fun if you advance some Tua teams into the next round of Best Ball Mania. All right, that was also my number two. We did my number three.
That was my three.
What's your number two?
My two is the Ravens.
That's my number one.
There it is, man. Look at us in lockstep. Of course, everyone knows we're picking the Ravens every week. No, not every week, but this is just listen, here's my thesis for this. 2 weeks ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars lost to Jake Browning at home.
Hey, I mean, Jake Browning's cooking, brother. I said it last week. I said I'm kind of buying into this Jake Browning experience. But, I mean, obviously, like, the thing is I feel like, does anyone even think the Ravens are bad? Like, I just, the Ravens are, maybe they don't have the highs that the 49ers do.
Yeah, because people don't like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's that simple. It is so that simple.
People don't want to see a quarterback like Lamar Jackson succeed, man. And you can say whatever, Rich, but there's definitely a group of people that think that way.
It's a huge group of people. And I mean, obviously, I think there are some racist people that think that way, but there are also just some football fans.
Football fans, like pure football.
Yes, just like...
Bill Polian.
Well, just like whatever it is they think that a quarterback should be, Lamar is not that, you know, it's not, he's not throw. I mean, he can throw, you know, 40 yard frozen ropes or whatever, but I wouldn't say that's like
unreal this year. He's having, but I know he won an MVP where he threw four. I think he's playing better football than he played that year. Dude, that play he made in the 2-point conversion to Zay Flowers.
Yes. Yeah.
He's making stupid plays this year. Just unreal. And I know that the stats don't, it's not going to, like, he's not an MVP, like, probably, like, on anyone's, like, top ballot. Like, I think that he's having arguably the best quarterback season.
I'm actually stunned by this. He's all the way down at 10th in EPA plus CPOE composite. Obviously, he's a little bit better in just, like, flat EPA per play. That just doesn't mesh with the eye test for me. Like, the eye test for me is that, like, this dude is really not setting a foot wrong. Like, he just is crushing it.
And that's okay with me. I think we talked about earlier when that model came out that didn't have Tyreek Hill as, like, a great separator or whatever. Like, I don't need the model or, like, EPA or, like, everything to explain to everything or hold my hand, right? Like,
yeah,
I know Lamar's balling.
Yeah, yeah, he is. And they are the defense. I think Kyle Hamilton got hurt last week. I was about to say that they're a little bit healthier than they normally are. Like, normally by December, the Ravens roster is dead. Like, they have no one left, you know, but, like, this year, the Andrews injury is not great. That is going to be something that's going to be.
The Jaguars in the other boat, like, the Jaguars are falling apart. Like, their defense is absolutely getting smoked right now. You know, the last two quarterbacks they faced have been Joe Flacco and Jake Browning. And, like, they've just given up the bag.
Flacco was cooking them, dude. Flacco was that I saw the Njoku touchdown.
They were just leaving dudes naked.
Like, yeah.
Guys are just naked.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know ball, but before that Njoku play, I saw the way they lined up and I was like, I know exactly what's about to happen here. I could tell you exactly what's going to happen here. And none of the defensive players recognized it, which is, it's just kind of crazy that, yeah, I mean, come on. Lamar Jackson versus Trevor Lawrence. No contest
Lawrence
here.
Lawrence was bad last week. You know, should he have played? Who's to say? Like, the dude's, hey, man.
I would have loved to have seen Nathan Rourke play. Now, my fantasy teams, I got a bunch of best ball teams that needed Gimpy Trevor Lawrence to play. So thanks for that, buddy. I needed those
there.
20 points.
He did suck out for fantasy, luckily, in the second half of that game.
Yep.
I mean, he was objectively bad in that game.
Losing Christian Kirk is a pretty big deal for them because,
but
however,
Cam Robinson's out. Cam Robinson, your left tackle's gone now.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. We're on the Ravens all the way. So that means your number one, I don't have, because that was we did all of mine. Please tell me you don't have the Chiefs.
I do.
Dude, come on. No, I mean, obviously, this is okay. This is why it's not on my list. I'm not telling you bet on the fucking Patriots. Like, that would be insane. The Patriots might not score a point in this game.
That's my thesis, though.
My old way of opinion would have been Chiefs are coming out of this rough stretch. Mahomes is throwing his helmet on national TV. The coolest play of the season got wiped off because Kadarius Toney's foot was on the offside line or whatever. Chiefs are coming in. They're mad. They're going to pour it on. I literally do not know if the 2023 Kansas City Chiefs can pour it on anyone. I don't know if they're capable of it.
Well, pour it on here. Literally
might be 24 points.
If they win this game 20-3,
Yeah.
Like you're there, man. I mean, so I mean, listen, last week was the first week they didn't cover after a loss. This season they're 3-1, against spread after a loss. Mahomes, in his career, historically great after a loss. Patriots, obviously a bad team. They're 1-6 against the spread at home this year, 3-10 against the spread. On the C 3-10, they're the worst cover percent team in the NFL. They can't score. And Zappe, as much as it was fun that he had that fun first half, like the second half of that game, he was hot garbage. And they almost tried to let the Steelers back in the game. I mean, this Chiefs defense still really good. And we saw that against the Bills. Like the Chiefs had no business even being in that game in the second half of that game last week. And that
The
Chiefs
defense
defense,
really stepped up in the second half. The offense didn't do their part, but
that defense is still really good. And I just can't see the Patriots score. I can't see the Patriots scoring more than a touchdown in this game. I just really can't.
it is crazy that the best defense Mahomes has ever had is going to be the first year he doesn't host the conference championship. Like it's kind of, you just be like, oh, well, you got Mahomes, so like you're just going to instant bake a top three offense, and nope. You got to play Marquez Valdes-Scantling the same amount of money that
Well,
DeAndre Hopkins
the
is
line
making.
has definitely underperformed this year too. That's the one thing that's not talked about, because everyone talks about the receivers, right? And like obviously
Yeah.
we've talked about that for years. Like, what's your plan after Travis Kelce? At least Rashee Rice does look like they actually got a draft pick right, though, to be
Yep.
fair.
Yeah.
But the offensive line is really underperformed, because this was a unit on paper, like they're loaded. Like they spent a lot of money on offensive linemen. They spent a lot of draft equity on offensive linemen, and the line has really underperformed.
You know what's nuts about that though? Mahomes still leads the NFL in sack percentage. Like he's still the
Oh
best
yeah, well, he's a
at
demon,
a
dude. You can't take him down.
I know, like I'm still, it's what's crazy is this season as a fan has been so frustrating, and like it's gonna be like, having to play a road playoff game against the Ravens. Like I'm already in my head chalking that up as a loss, basically. I still am gonna have so many fond memories though, just because like it's like Mahomes is playing the game on hard now, and he's just like my favorite play in football, without a doubt, is 3rd and 7. The defense finally thinks they get home on Pat. He does his little shoulder dip, it gets away, and he just like, Kermit the Frog runs for the first down. And like, it's just that's my fa all the throws are cool, but that is my favorite play that he makes. Like, it's just, it is the best watching him do that.
Yeah, and Mahomes himself is still clearly passing the eye test. Like he's doing a lot of things, well. It's just, yeah,
Well, they
it's
have
tough scenes,
four,
man.
they have four, three losses this season where the game was directly decided at the end by either a drop or a penalty by
Yes.
one of the wide receivers.
And to
And then
be
if
fair, the Bills would have had 1:20 after that play.
field goal didn't do it though, right? They had to score. So field goal doesn't do it.
No, they would have needed a touchdown.
I saw people saying that, and I
But
say,
still, you don't know. I mean, it still is in the. I mean, McDermott probably would have found a way to jack it up, but.
I mean, McDermott found a way to give the ball back to Kansas City with 1:50 left on the clock when they had a first down with 2:13 on the clock. Like it, I mean, that was insane. That whole sequence, I mean, it goes totally under discussed because that's not the way the game went. But if they lost that
Yeah.
game, people would have looked at that 3-play sequence before the 2-minute warning and just been like, "What the fuck are you doing? Like, what was any of that? That was all terrible."
No, I mean, when the Bills went up 14-0, I was like, this is dead, man. Like, man, the Chiefs, like they're not gonna be able to score. Like, and then the defense literally held the Bills down to what, two field goals the rest of the game. And they kind of just fought, like, just inched back, inched back, inched back. But I mean, I just can't see the Patriots scoring on this defense.
Yeah, I look, at the end of the day, am I gonna chastise you for taking the Chiefs? No, I'm in a dark place with them right now.
I get it. I'm not going to be scared against this Patriots team.
There's nothing to be afraid of except fear
Zeke is back,
itself.
though.
Speaking of Zeke, you playing Zeke in DFS this week? What's the plan?
Maybe in like cash, but I think he seems like a pretty good fade for obvious reasons.
Are the Vikings on the main slate? No, they're not.
No,
They're on
they're on
Saturday. M
Saturday.
Madison just got ruled out. So that would have been nice to be able to play Ty Chandler, but what
Yeah,
can
he'll
you
be
do?
popular on that Saturday slate. That Saturday slate is, you can do what you want. There's really no salary restrictions on that Saturday slate, because it's all backup quarterbacks except for that Detroit Denver game. So you can kind of fit in whatever you want to do. It's like backup running, it's all cheap running backs and like cheap quarterbacks. So like when you have that in DFS, it's like just like if you want to make a lineup with Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Justin Jefferson or whatever, you could do it. You want to play Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, you could do it. Like there's really no restriction on what you want to do on that Saturday slate.
I think that's right. Purdy or Stafford for you out of the two really high totals? Which one do you prefer?
I like Stafford because he's a little bit cheaper on both sites. Purdy on FanDuel is super expensive. And I think he's a good play still, like if you want to play him in cash. And I'm gonna have Purdy lineups definitely in turn. So I think my core quarterback will end up being Stafford just because of the price difference. What is the
What else is
Purdy's 8
interesting?
4 on FanDuel?
Okay, Debo, Puka, or Kupp. You can only play one.
I lean Puka.
I was thinking Kupp.
Not a lot. Yeah, I could
I think
be. I
he
like
might be
both Rams
back.
guys. I like both
Kupp
Rams
might
guys.
be back, dude. He might be back.
It's splitting hairs. I literally have those guys right next to each other, Kupp and Puka. Play both.
Yeah, they are.
As you said, you can only play one. God, it's they both just objectively look like great plays. So I hope it doesn't come down to like me being wrong on the non-Stafford stacks, right? Because it's like if a non-Stafford stack wins, then you're gonna have to get the Rams guy right.
Shit. It's gonna be like we actually have teams projected to score points in this slate, so it's pretty
And
interesting.
Kyren is
And
an amazing
Kyren.
play.
Well, Kyren, I think, is just gonna be like the stone chalk, like just outrageous.
So should we just pay for McCaffrey and not?
I'm already de like I don't know. I mean, obviously, like I don't have
Because
the answer
remember,
to
the
that.
last time these two teams played, McCaffrey had 180 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just
The
a it's a
Cardinals literally have just been, they've given the bag up every week.
the I so I feel like because McCaffrey obviously just like needs so many of the touches to get there. It's like hard. It's like either you're kind of jamming Purdy double stacks or whatever, or you're jamming McCaffrey. I mean, I don't know. Like
It's rough.
McCaffrey's had a couple weeks where he's had like 25, 20 instead of 30, 35. So maybe that just like I was talking to Jacob this morning and I was like, he might only be like 10% or whatever. And also there's not a ton of cheap punt options. I mean, it's like Wandale Robinson, Mingo. I mean, I ain't playing Mingo, but
I'm not playing. Volpe
people
asked me
will.
if I was playing Mingo. I'm just not playing any Panthers at this point.
Yeah, no, none of them.
What was CMC? What is CMC? Yeah, CMC's like under 20%. Kyren's like 25 on early projection
Yeah,
stuff.
there are a lot of good running back plays this week, though.
Oh, absolutely. Bijan looks good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Bijan, our boy.
And obviously people will get to Zeke because of the workload and from a cash environment. Like he looks good. He looks like a pretty strong tournament fade for me.
McKinnon too.
Oh, and if we get Antonio Gibson in that game,
Yeah, right.
as well, because that negative game script, it's not going to be a Chris Rodriguez environment on the road, a 7-point dog. So we might get Antonio Gibson, and I think on both sites he's really cheap. He's 5-2 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel he is 5-6.
Pretty good. Like yeah, he's just a smash if he goes.
Yeah, and then Brian Robinson did not practice coming out of the bye. He's got a hamstring. There's
Not
really no
good.
reason to push him either. Like,
Yeah,
you're
what's the
dead.
point? Yeah.
So, yeah, because Jaden Reed's going to end up being really popular on this slate because of what he frees up because they played on Monday night. I do like Mike Evans as a natural kind of mini in that. I think Rashad White's fine too because he'll probably get overlooked this week because there's so many good running back plays. But Rashad White's just been getting there.
Every week just gets
Guys,
there.
just been getting there.
Finally increased in price though. He was like
Yes, yes.
6,100 for like 2 months. Now he's finally a little bit more expensive. How about, can I interest you in Tony Pollard as leverage on Dak, on CeeDee, on Allen, on Diggs, on Kincaid? Like he's super leverage on that game.
Yeah, I think though a lot of people are going to get there because his price more so, I think, on FanDuel than DraftKings because he's 7K on FanDuel and he fits a lot more. Bills have been really good against the run, but obviously he is. If you can get those touches, what kills me about is like last week, right? Like even Pollard, like he's getting their yards and touches, but like bring in Dowdle to run in that touchdown. It's like you just never feel good about what's happening. We're sucking out with Pollard. Like we're at least getting something this past month, but like it's
Right.
still like when you watch the Cowboys, it's not necessarily, it doesn't feel like you're just like, you don't feel like great about it. Like you just hope like he's backdoors and like falls in the end zone once.
Yeah, I mean that's literally that's or he catches he Breece Hall's it, catches seven passes or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of where we are, but like, you know, they, because like he could have ran that, they could have gave that play to him,
But they didn't.
but they didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. What's funny is in the best ball stuff, he ended up being like a positive advance rate player because everyone around him died. Like every terrible pick was right around him. Yeah.
I mean, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson,
T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, like just like and guys who just got hurt, you know, Nick Chubb, just like guys who just did not play.
that's like Derrick Henry and his teams ended up having a good advance rate, right? Because he was in that second round, just like survived.
Well, and you took Texans with him, so you got Stroud, you got Nico, you got Devin Singletary. Like you got pulled into the biggest value beating. The 49ers and the Texans were the two teams that like cumulatively beat their ADP by the most.
Yes.
Tank Dell. Yeah.
Yeah, Tank Dell, Nico, Stroud, obviously Schultz.
Schultz even.
All those
Singletary.
guys hit. If you took a shot on Singletary, you got a couple spike weeks. Damian Pierce obviously was a garbage draft pick, but and then all the 49ers got there. Like CMC, like how many teams got CMC at like 105, 106?
Yeah, insane. All right, man. Tell the people, Sharp Football, what can they get heading into the holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know no one's buying fantasy subs right now. You can use promo code Angles if you want to read the worksheet or get a weekly, anything, whatever. Because we've been cooking, man. Absolutely sizzling. Been absolutely in fuego since basically the start of November. Hopefully we keep that going this weekend. But other than that, my stuff's all over there. We're looking forward to this final month of the season. We only got four of these left. We always talk about like around the middle of the season, we're like, oh yeah, let's get there. And then at the end, we start to cook and you're like, I wish I had more.
Yeah. It's time to start shipping the playoff contest. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'll be back on Sunday with Sammy and Nate. See y'all then.